It's a great pleasure to welcome Archbishop Gustavo Garcia Sierra from the Archdiocese of San Antonio. Archbishop Gustavo was named the Archbishop of San Antonio by Pope Benedict XVI on October 14, 2010, and installed as the Archbishop on November 23, 2010. Born December 21st although he's younger than I am, so I should tell you. In San Luis Potosí, in Mexico, to Gustavo Garcia Suarez and Maria Cristina Sierra de Garcia, Archbishop Garcia Sierra was the eldest of 15 children. I told him I left this out, but I'll tell you, he grew up sweeping the floor and washing the windows of his parents' business, and that's probably the best formation we can have is in the family, working with everyone else. In 1975, Archbishop Garcia Sierra professed as a member of the Missionaries of the Holy Spirit. He was sent to the United States border in 1980, where he worked closely with the immigrant community. He was ordained a priest on June 22, 1984, in Guadalajara, Mexico. He became a citizen of these United States on December 15th of 1998. Archbishop Garcia Sierra has held several leadership positions in his religious order. From 1999 to 2003, he served as the major superior of the Missionaries of the Holy Spirit, administering an area that at that time included the United States and Canada, and he was elected the order's provincial in 2003. He was named the Auxiliary Bishop of Chicago, serving Cardinal Francis George's as his liaison with the Hispanic community. And on a national level, Archbishop Garcia Sierra currently serves on a number of committees for the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, the USCCB. And in November of 2011, his brother bishops of the United States elected Archbishop Gustavo to be one of the four bishops to represent the United States at the 2012 Synod of Bishops in Rome, on the topic of the new evangelization. So he has just returned a couple of months ago from that synod, and so he will have a lot to share with us regarding the topic of the new evangelization. Es un gran honor de dar la bienvenida a un fiel pastor de la iglesia y un estimado amigo. Su excelencia, le damos la bienvenida a la diócesis de Corpus Christi, Corpo de Cristo. Le damos las gracias por estar con nosotros hoy y esperamos escuchar sus palabras. Pedimos a Dios que nos dé hoy lo que nos ayude a estar en este año de fe para acercarnos más a Jesucristo y nos ayude a ser evangelizadores eficaces. I practiced all last night, but anyway. Monsignor Gustavo, benvenido.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning. I would like to begin saying that gatherings like this help us to realize that we are not alone in following Jesus Christ, in living out the values of the gospel. I was here with you a year ago in which you were celebrating a Jubilee year. And I was able to witness the energy, the sense of belonging. And I believe that a great instrument for all of this has been your bishop, Bishop Mulvey, Michael Mulvey. He has a great sense of leadership, and he's a man of communion. which is a key in leadership in the world today, not only in the church, but anyone who is able to foster communion, and in our case, as believers, to have a communion with Christ and communion with one another. And your bishop is a model of that. And I was able to witness some of that in you as I visited last year. And this year again, I was invited to come and share with you some thoughts about the new evangelization and the Word of God. I would like to recognize the presence of priests. It's difficult for priests to come to gatherings like this on Saturday or Sunday, but some of you represent across the board in the diocese the priesthood of Christ in your ministry as priests, permanent deacons, religious men and women, seminarians, candidates to the priesthood. I met two of them today. And a great number of you, most of you, lay leaders in your parishes and in Catholic institutions. The church, my brothers and sisters, exists to evangelize. That's it. We can add or try to convey in so many ways what the church is for, what summarizes the church and its existence is to evangelize. Something, a word that was scary for members of our Catholic Church, sadly, for generations. Because evangelization was attached to other groups, but none to Catholics. The church exists to evangelize. And this fundamental truth was reiterated by our Holy Father during the homily for the opening Mass for the Synod of Bishops on the new evangelization back in October last year. As Father Bishop Mulvey said, I had the great fortune of serving as one of the four elected U.S. delegates to the beautiful gathering of bishops from around the world. We were 263 bishops. There were 50 experts and 35 adjutors. So about 400 people gathering day by day with the Holy Father. He was most of the days with us, and some days he was not in the meeting, but he presided, of course, liturgies, the celebration of the Mass. There were four Masses. And it's important to pinpoint to that moment in the Universal Church, because that can keep us in our minds thinking about precisely our role as evangelizers. In that gathering took place during those 3 weeks. We have only one day off. The rest of the days from 7 o'clock in the morning Mass to 7 o'clock at night, with a break of a couple of hours in the afternoon for lunch, or the main meal in Rome. But the Holy Father celebrated four liturgies. And just to give you, to recall the experiences of those four liturgies, in one of them was the opening, but it is where he also mentioned about the year of faith, the celebration of Vatican II, the 50th anniversary, the 20th anniversary of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. So it was kind of an exciting time. In the other ones, is where he named the two doctors, new doctors of the church, and a Spanish man, religious, you know, priest, and a woman, as you know, this woman from Germany. And then in another celebration, he named some cardinals. In another celebration of the another mass, he gave us few saints. So really the theme of evangelization was portrayed widely in the lives of people in our universal church. How there are concrete people who carry on the faith. We're in the year of faith. There were concrete people who embodied what is to follow Jesus Christ and to be a disciple. The church has increasingly come to know that her evangelical mission has two branches. That is, on the one hand, the missio ad gentes, or the announcement of the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus Christ and his message of salvation. And on the other hand, the new evangelization, directed especially at those who, though baptized, they have drifted away from the church and live without reference to the Christian life. So those are the two movements. The church exists to evangelize out there to those who have not known Christ, but also inside, and particularly with the new evangelization, those who were in the church, they were baptized, but they drifted away. And an example about what is to drift away. I remember in my family, I left when I was 16 years old. But for many years, we always went to the same place for vacation. And it was a whole adventure, going so many together. Always large gatherings. No privacy, no respect. No. But I remember being, we used to go to Acapulco, and by the beach in the Pacific Ocean, beautiful views and the sunrise and the sunset. But I remember being enjoying the waters, and my father and my mother will be by the sand, by the shore, and they were saying, "Don't go away. Watch for one another." And we were playing by the, in the sand and with the water. And little by little, we're getting away. But we didn't notice that we were getting away. But suddenly, you said, "Oh, where is Mom? Where is Dad?" And panic began. And where are the brothers and sisters? And who is in charge of who? And we are lost. But how did that happen? We're just drifting away. We didn't want to go away. We thought we had security. We're sure that we were in the right place. But suddenly, the move of the waves and the whole context, we lost them. We were actually away. And how many people have drifted away from the Lord and from His church? And it's true that the Pope, with the new evangelization synod, he had in mind particularly Europe. Those countries that they receive, we can say first, the faith, where the church as an institution and as a proclaimer of the good news was very well established. And we still have in Europe beautiful churches. We wish to have some of those churches right here in San Antonio and in our diocese here in the United States. Great monasteries where many orders of men and women began. A lot of art. But all those are pieces now of museums. And people, they go in great crowds and they are in awe with all those things, but they are not in awe with God. It's very sad. We don't want that here. We prefer to invest in our communities. We see in Latin America, in Mexico, in the United States, in Canada, in the three Americas, how also many people have been drifting away. And even in our own families and friends. Is not true? And we don't know what to do because suddenly your own are gone. They are away. And though the relationship is still there, for whatever reason or reasons, the faith has been falling apart. The relationship with God is kind of gone. We don't talk about God with them. They don't talk about God with us. And suddenly, the values of the gospel have disappeared. So the church has called special attention to this new evangelization, to those who have drifted away, because she is constantly working to read the signs of the world around her. Think for a moment about what you yourself see in the world these days. There is so much darkness. So much fear. Just all the discussion about guns. That's pathetic. That is pulling the attention of everybody in the United States, in the country. There are some more important things, don't you think? That they need energy. They need our creativity and our investment. But it's fear. Why we need guns in this room today? But people who live in fear, they don't see otherwise. There is so much loneliness. Though we are in time of communication that could be instant to the iPod and the iPhone and the computers and Twitter. But there is so much loneliness. So much violence. And it's very easy to say, oh, the problem is on the other side of the border. What a lie. It's true that there is there a problem too. But we have a problem on violence. If we really count, you know, and we receive a count of every day's killings and every day's assaults and all that stuff, it's overwhelming. And in our own families, little things become huge things. In religious life, in priesthood, in seminarians, little things become huge issues. And there is also so much emptiness. We have more. There is more wealth than ever, in spite of the economic crisis. But there is emptiness. So far too many of our Christian brothers and sisters walk through this life as if walking through a desert. And I would like to show the image of desert because the desert was used in the New Evangelization Synod. These good people know that there is something that they crave, something deeper, something more than themselves. Well, they have been baptized and have gone through the motions of religion in their lives. Something is missing. And they have expressed that. Some of you know members of your family who received Catholic education, Catholic values in your home. But they have drifted away. And now they experience that emptiness, that age about beyond the age about violence, you know, about loneliness. Therefore, they have not encountered, you know, Jesus in these actions, even though they were exposed to Catholic values and they were doing things like going to Mass every week, going to catechism, they received the sacraments. For whatever reason, they didn't encounter Jesus Christ in all those actions. Therefore, to them, religion is simply another rote task, something that you do in daily life without having to think about it. You don't put your reason, you don't put your affection on it. You know, your passion, your conviction is lifeless. And we are expecting that they will continue carry on their values and their faith. That's not possible. That's not possible. So, or even worse, it is a foolish pursuit that faith and God should be discarded. There is no life in their experience of faith, because in their pursuit of their faith life, these people have not encountered the person of Christ. Christ is the light of life, light of the world. And you will have a talk later on about this topic. And only Christ can quench that deep thirst we experience here in the desert. Only Christ, only God, God with us, the Son of God and the Son of Mary. The bishops of the synod produce a statement to the people of the world at the end of our time together to share our thoughts as we await the Holy Father's post-synodal letter, who can come in a year from now or so, which will guide the world together through the new evangelization. In this message, we the bishops explore this new evangelization to those who are walking thirsty in the desert, in the context of a beloved scriptural image. You must recall that passage of the Samaritan woman in the scripture, in the Gospel of John. And just the introduction tells us that Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of the land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. It was a real experience. It's no story. It was a real story. Jesus was tired of his own journey and went to the well in the middle of the desert. But all of us, we experience deserts in our lives. The Samaritan woman at the well, also, she was in the middle of the desert. If you will recall in that story from Jesus' ministry, our Lord encounters a woman who is drawing water at a well. She is drawing water because she is thirsty. But Jesus helps her to see that her thirst is deeper than what she feels in her throat and on her lips. She's thirsting as one wandering in the desert waiting for a loving water, for a living water. Through her encounter with Jesus Christ, she comes to know that the Lord is this living water. And the encounter with the living Christ quenched her thirst and gave her new life. So what is important here is that always there is a context. We cannot experience the Lord outside a context, a real context in life. Some people, they wonder, they will experience the Lord in a very incredible way. And it's not true that in many occasions we have to help people to realize that they can encounter Christ, but we add a lot of stuff so people, they can feel good about themselves, about the world. And suddenly they say, God loves me. But sometimes those contexts are not that real. They can lead in some way to encounter with Christ. But we, people of God, we are invited to be aware of our contexts. God wants to meet us in our real life. He is the Lord. He don't have to convey or to portray himself as something extraordinary, so unique, so striking. He wants to meet us. But in that process of meeting us, we need to recognize our thirst. And this woman did. She was then surrounded with a refreshment of grace and the cool stream of love that pours forth from the sacred heart of our loving Lord. So it could be that the people who had been drifting away from our church, from the church that Jesus started, they have gone away without noticing, but it's because we didn't give the opportunity to meet the Lord in real moments of life and also to experience what is to be thirsty of Him, to experience need of God, need of transcendence. Now, this woman brought to new life went then to communicate her living experience with Christ to the people of her town. Isn't that very interesting? How many retreats we had been. And could be marriage encounter, could be Acts retreats, could be crusades, could be, you know, religious life. Every year and several times a year there were retreats. I have a day for a day for prayer and retreat every month. We are spoiled on that. But not necessarily we utilize those times to meet the Lord. And when we leave those moments, we do not communicate the experience of Christ to others. Because if we didn't meet the Lord, we don't communicate the Lord. This woman went into town, you know, and shared the experience. She invited the town people to come and see, to come and have an experience of Christ. And they were convinced by the power of the woman's experience, the experience that she had of the Lord, they were truly convinced. That is what was very difficult for many years in the Catholic Church. That we as members of the church, we didn't feel the need to go and share with somebody else the experience of Jesus Christ. How much I am loved by the Lord and how much I love the Lord. How the Lord is in love with me. And I have fallen in love with Him as a consequence. And what is going on between the Lord and I? It was so private. We prayed together, the Our Father, we went to Mass, we went to pray the Rosary, but we were not communicating the experience of Jesus Christ. So this woman went, communicated it with such compassion and conviction that they believed in her experience of Christ. And eventually, they wanted to have that experience themselves. And God's grace then showered them with the living water and gave them all new life. And the woman, what did she do? She had brought them by the power of her experience, but through their own encounter with Christ. It's not that she gave them the encounter with Christ. She communicated to them her encounter with Christ, and they themselves had an encounter with the Lord in some way. And they were able to say, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." That has been missing in our programs. You know, so well, I must say that some of our programs or association or retreats, there is some room for witnessing or dialogue. But in most of them, there is not. There is not. There is no chance to speak of my experience with Jesus and the love that he has for me. So this is the definition then of the new evangelization. People that long for love and joy. All of us, we have struggled with the deserts of our own lives. Because our life goes like the seasons. And even in one season, I don't know how it was here, but in San Antonio, this week we have rain and it was overcast. And then one day it was spectacular. So clear, the sun was on, and you know, it was beautiful. It was out and was beautiful. And then today again was, well. So not only seasons, but even in the seasons, we go the ups and downs, but we don't have a chance to assess those moments and to be able to talk about them, you know, in our own journey. So we say, okay, we wait for the next experience, and the new experience. And what would be the best experience? Like somebody told me, oh, I am in the 42 retreat of Acts. And what? I mean, he thought that I was going to say, wow, 42 retreats, Acts retreats, my goodness. And what? Let's do an assessment. What has happened in your life with all those 42? And what's happened in the life of other people around you? So there are times and places that many can recall when we were left thirsting deep within our souls. In the grace of God, we can stand here today because Christ came to us as the font of living water, as the font of life-giving water that quenched our thirst and showed us the way, the truth, and the life. Otherwise, we will not be here. Otherwise, we will not be active in our communities as we are, as you are. We, like the woman at the well, have had an encounter with the living Christ, and we have been given new life because of it. Our task, then, as agents of the new evangelization, is to communicate that living experience of Jesus Christ to others with the same passion and joy and conviction with which the woman at the well spoke to the people of her town. Every one of us, indeed, the whole church together, must undertake this task. So the bishops, we need to do it according to our own vocation. Priests, deacons, or laity, religious men and women, the new movements. But to draw the people to Christ and Christ in the church, that came very clearly in the synod. We cannot just have a personal experience with Christ. If that ends there, most likely that experience of Christ is not true. Or is deficient. Because all of us, we can build that experience with the Lord. That idea that, oh, I experienced Jesus in my life and he's just with me, could be what you are imagining of Jesus, or building up your own Christ. Is encounter with Jesus Christ in the church. In the church. And so it is up to us today to render the experiences of the church concretely accessible, to multiply the wells where thirsty men and women and of all ages are invited to encounter Jesus Christ, to offer oases in the deserts of life. So the deserts could be the contexts where the fountains of living water will appear, will be found. And eventually, we're talking about the encounter with the Lord. Now, our God, which is a good and loving God, did not leave us without resources of this living water. I will center myself in one of those resources and has become the main source of living water for the church through all these over 2,000 years. Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we have been given the sacred scriptures, the Word of God. And maybe we need to review ourselves, to make an examination of conscience, how much contact we have daily with the Word of God. Now we know many passages. Now we are more aware that in the Catholic Church, in every celebration, the Word of God is proclaimed. We have now training for those who proclaim it. And it's done so beautifully. We're absorbing more the message right there and then. But the Word of God was not intended for Sundays only, but for our daily experience, to draw the water from the Scripture constantly, in time of sadness, in time of joy, in thanksgiving, when we need instruction, but we need to refresh some feelings and relationships with our parents or with our siblings or with those that we work with. The Scripture wants to be a source of that living water that will lead us to fresh encounter with Jesus Christ daily. Daily. So just as this word was the well of living water in the days of Jesus' ministry, so it is today. This is a great blessing, my brothers and sisters, because we need not invent new strategies as if the gospel were a product to be placed in the market of religions. We need to rediscover the ways in which Jesus Christ approached persons and call them. Do we want to be smarter than Jesus Christ with new ideas? Well, the context will be different. The context today is not the context of that woman in her desert at that time. Those are different. But we need to go to Jesus. He already did it. And he did it well. Everything that he did was good. We need to rediscover the ways in which Jesus approached persons and called them in order to put these approaches into practice in today's circumstances. That is the new evangelization. Evangelization in itself is not new. The good news, the message of the Lord, the Christ is the same Christ. He is the good news. Not only he gave good news, he is good news. So we are not changing that. The newness is the context of today. And we need to accept that we don't know how to do it. I can say that as Archbishop in San Antonio. But with the help of the Holy Spirit and in relationship with others, in communion, we can find out how in our context today, with the tools that we have today, with the realities of our time, we can bring the person of Jesus Christ closer to people and bring people closer to the Lord for them to experience encounter with Christ. So the Scriptures gives us a great wealth of new approaches for sharing our experience of the living Christ with those who have fallen away from His love and His grace. When people, they think about themselves, which is in the world today, that is a trend, and that's when we say secularization, and then we add the other isms, you know, individualism, consumerism, materialism, is because people are centering themselves, because at least they can touch themselves. They, in some way, they feel something. They can articulate something in their mind. So their source is themselves, but the bottom line, they are saying that they are in need of something beyond themselves, even if they cannot say it. Because when they go to themselves, they are kind of stuck. That has happened to us as well. Sometimes we think that we are going to figure out this issue, and we are going to resolve this problem, and we are going to control everything. Do you remember learning in family, in school, that you have to be always in control? You have to be perfect. You have to do it right. Many times we fell short. And so at one point we say, really, all that is saying that we need something beyond ourselves. In other words, life is not just about us. It's about God and His grace and His love. So, for a first example, we can read how Jesus engaged His apostles in their ministry, which can show us how Jesus can ignite the fire of faith in the hearts of even the most stubborn people. Peter, for example, often encountered Jesus as the Lord asked him challenging questions. Who do you say that I am? And Peter is supposed to be in charge and being one of the great apostles and very connected with the Lord and following Him every day in many ways. But he needed to be confronted so that he was able to enter into his own desert and to be able to have thirst of God. Jesus asked him, again, the word of Christ, the word of God, through His words. The Lord said to him, will you lay down your life for me? Simple as that. What do you think, Simon? What is that to you? Maybe you can relate to Peter as well. Maybe in your life you have experienced the Lord challenging you to come to a deeper faith and belief. That experience may be exactly what someone needs to hear to refresh their faith. But an instrument is needed for somebody else to hear it. The Lord is speaking all the time. The Word of God is alive as ever. He wants to ignite hearts, but needs instruments who will facilitate that presence. Maybe in your life you have experienced this, and that experience may be exactly what someone needs. Or maybe you find your experience of Christ echoed in the way Jesus interacted with John, another disciple. The man our tradition identifies as the beloved disciple had a bond of affection with the Savior, and it was profound. He leaned his head on Christ's chest during the Last Supper. He followed Jesus along with Peter to his trial after he was arrested. And he was there comforting Jesus' mother at the foot of the cross. And Jesus entrusted his mother to him. For you, maybe these scriptures can help illuminate the love you have for our Lord and the love our Lord has shown you. How beautiful a testimony to the greatness of our God, who can love us so powerfully. But we need the space and the time. Remember the woman at the well. It was time. Jesus was thirsty because of some reasons, and the woman was experiencing thirst for other reasons. But it was a time in the desert around material water to quench the thirst. We can draw inspiration for our new evangelization from the scriptures, as well in how Jesus behaves in the very human parts of his life. And is what people, they need. You know, they don't need for us just to tell them pieces of doctrine and to tell them the church is teaching this. We need to know what the church teaches, and especially we are in leadership. But what is the key is if we're able to connect. Bishop Mulvey was just telling me before the conference, as we were talking about our own retreat, we had a retreat, the bishops of Region 10, that includes Texas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. And he was saying very clearly, you know, that was one piece of the retreating. This cardinal was so human. But how will not be able to connect with the message? About spiritual matters, maybe we cannot connect that easily. And maybe we cannot explain the phenomenon of a spiritual life very easily. But about human realities, we can. Here we have mothers, we have abuelas, we have fathers, abuelos, we have brothers, sisters, comadres, compadres, co-workers, neighbors, friends, enemies. All that is part of human experience. We can connect with all that. And there is something about it, that if we connect with real experiences, you know, we can facilitate the concrete actions of the Word that became flesh and lived among us. We just experience baby Jesus. Of course, if we don't interact with the baby, we don't know the meaning of baby Jesus. And we said, oh, that's an old story. You know, forget it. That's just a baby Jesus. How are we going to put our trust in baby Jesus? But if we know what is a baby and how babies approachable, like Benedict XVI said, that Jesus became a little child so we can touch him. We can touch God. He's approachable. We can carry a baby. We're amused by that. We are drawn. There's an attraction. We have experienced that. It's not true, grandmothers. Oh, you give your life for your grandchildren, don't you? Why? They're just babies. So, the experience of Christ, the Lord, the Savior, could be different for people in their ordinary lives. So we can draw the inspiration from the scriptures. Jesus wept at the tomb of his dear friend Lazarus. You have been in funerals. You have had people in your own families who have passed away. You can relate to that. One of the critiques of our church has been the lack of welcoming, the lack of hospitality in our communities. One of the hardest things that I heard once, it was from a priest, a place in which there were a lot of young people. And the young people, they wanted to do something in the parish. Just in that mass, there were about close to 100 young people who said, we would like to form a group. And the priest said, oh, no, 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 that will divide the parish. We cannot connect with human experiences. Those young people, they want to develop friendship. They need company. They need attention. And you have them right there. Not even you have to, you don't have to go even find them. They are right there, and they are telling you that they want to form a group, a youth group. My goodness. But we are so disconnected, so unwelcoming, so foreign to hospitality. That relationship of Jesus and the woman implied that Jesus was open to dialogue. And remember, even the scripture says the Samaritans and the Jews, they were not connecting. And men and women, they will not find, in that case, one woman with one man by the well. That was not very, very acceptable at the time. But it's just the human experience. The need of one another, the need of water, that opened the road for that deep need and the longings of the heart. Our Lord spoke out against all injustice and stood up for the poor, saying, amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of these least brothers of mine, you did it for me. And if we're going through the Beatitudes, all of us, we can relate to them. In some ways, we have experienced poverty, sadness. We have experienced pain, the cross, suffering, illness. Why we cannot articulate what is going on in our lives to open the possibility for the presence of the Lord enter with power. We can do that. Jesus also healed the sick. He cast out demons. You know, it's very common to hear about demons and strange things. You know, there are strange things. Oh, this person says that the devil is persecuting him or her or whatever. It could be. But the point is, let's enter that Jesus can enter there. He cast out demons and make broken bodies whole to show us how he desires our wholeness and blessedness. So in this example, my brothers and sisters, I hope you to see the wealth of the scriptures as inspiration for the new evangelization. We don't have to create really everything from scratch. We have to use the contexts of today. But if we are more reflective of our human experiences of joy and sorrow and pain, we will be able, desire to grow, desire to be successful. We can draw from the scriptures so much living water. Frequent reading of the sacred scriptures at all levels, individually, as a family, more collectively on the church. Illuminated by the tradition of the church who hands them over to us and is their authentic interpreter, is not only necessary for knowing the very content of the gospel, which is the person of Jesus Christ in the context of salvation history. But reading the scriptures also helps us to discover opportunities to encounter Jesus, truly evangelical approaches rooted in the fundamental dimension of human life, family, work, friendships, various forms of poverty and trials of life, etc. So your challenge and my challenge, friends, is to deepen your relationship with Christ through Scripture so that you can communicate that relationship with those who have forgotten it or turned away. Because when we want to bring people to Christ, it's not to bring people to us. It's to Christ, to Him. And the source of the Word incarnate is revealed to us in a special way in the Word of God. So this is a tremendous task, and one that is vitally important. We have been called to reclaim souls for Christ. What an amazing gift to claim people for Christ, to introduce them to Christ. Now, we know that it will not be easy. And maybe we'll feel limited in many ways. Maybe it's what we need to foster in our parishes. How the parish needs to have venues to help us to respond, to be prepared for the challenge of helping people to find Christ. I am sure that many of you have seen how so many people will rather continue on in their thirst. And many parents, they suffer because they see their children thirsty, and that there is no move in them, and there is no life in them. And it's like they are getting drier and drier and drier and consuming their years, especially the youth, rather than tie themselves to the wellspring of life-giving water, Jesus the Lord. But this is usually because they see the Christian faith as a list of rules and regulations that we follow out of obligation, fear, ignorance of the real world. We stand here today convinced that nothing could be further from the truth. Our faith is a participation in the life of He who is life itself. Our faith is an experience of the living water that quenches all thirst so that none may have to thirst again. So our faith, people of God, our faith is an inexhaustible source of new life. And Benedict XVI, our Pope, was right. That's why the year of new evangelization, the season or the time or the epoch of new evangelization has to be marked by a year of faith to start. Our faith in God is our source. And the scriptures will help us to nourish it. So our faith is an experience of the living water that quenches all thirst. And I would like to maybe put it differently. Quenches all kinds of thirsts so that none may have to thirst again. May this conference strengthen you in your mission to evangelize those around you, so that we, in blessed unity with the church, may bring about the new evangelization of our thirsting world. Finally, in the desert, like the Samaritan woman, we seek water. And a well, not only we seek water, but we try to find a well from which to drink. Blessed is the one who encounters Christ there. May Mary, the star of the new evangelization, the one that is true that she say yes, she said yes, and the Word became flesh, she conceived the Son of God, and she gave it to the world. But she, the faithful disciple, and the one who knew Jesus better than nobody else in the history of the world, and not only in the past, but even in the present and the future, no matter how much we read the scriptures, the one who knew Christ the most was the Blessed Mother. She even needed to feed Jesus every day, to wash the clothes of Jesus, to feed Jesus, to carry Jesus, to accompany Jesus, to talk to Jesus, to lead Jesus. And it was the rest of her life. In other words, her life was one of faith. Not because she said faith at the beginning, and because she was immaculate in her conception, means that she didn't need faith along the way. Her faith was leading her to be living out of the water of Jesus Christ himself every day of her life. May she inspire us. May she intercede for us as we are trying to respond to the challenges of the new evangelization. And may she, who was in that connection daily with the Word of God, Jesus himself, lead us, encourage us to be in daily connection with the Word of God, the Word of life, the Lord. The last thought that I have 2 minutes is, and that will summarizes the new evangelization in the Word of God, is that comes to the test in our witnessing. You want to know about new evangelization and the Word of God. You want to know if you are an instrument to others about leading them to Jesus Christ, is to review your witnessing. In the Synod of New Evangelization, that came very clearly. Our words can help in quite a bit, but is the witnessing of our lives. Because when we convey to someone the message of the good news and introduce Jesus to them, what will stay in them is how this takes place in this person. How the person of Jesus Christ, the Word, has changed this person. What has made the difference? And so to witness will be the way to see that the new evangelization and the Word of God is alive in our world today. Thank you. Thank you.